Amen. 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 We definitely want to thank the men's chorus this morning. Amen. Be still. That's hard to do. Just keep praying. That's hard to do. We like to throw hands. We like to get in the mix. But be still and let the Lord fight your battles. Giving all praises to God, to our own Reverend Dr. Janice Bryan, to our deacons, our officers, our members, to the male chorus, men's chorus, and to all of you that is present. We do thank God for this another expression of his goodness and his mercy to allow us to come together one more time, even in spite of all that's going on. God has blessed us to assemble ourselves together. And for that, we can give him the praise. This morning, we would like to call your attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 2. The Gospel of John, chapter 2. Hopefully a story that is not new to you, but hopefully we can look at it fresh. John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, by the inspiration of God, by the pen of John, these words are recorded. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had been invited to the wedding, and the wine was gone. Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial cleaning, each holding about 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." Verse 11. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. We read into your hearing John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. Thank you, ushers. This morning, we would like to use as a subject, maitre d's wanted. Novice need not apply. This sermon is for grown folk. It is a grown folk sermon. It's for folk that got to rock a few times before they get up. For folk who, this sermon is for people that started getting ready for church about 6:30 this morning. You know, you got started at 10:15. Skip. This is for mature believers. Not saying I don't want young people to tune out. I just want you to know that you got to grow up to this. Is be able to serve in the role of a maitre d'. it's a matter of experiences. That this just can't be your first summer of discontent. If this your first time being disappointed with the government, pop, move around. No need to apply. This is for seasoned saints, those who have been there and done that, who got the postcards and the T-shirts to prove it. They've been on the battlefield for a long time. They got the scars. They got the wounds to prove it. They have come up through the ranks. They started as little and came up as a student, moved on to be the teacher. Now they are over and directoring. They came up through the ranks. The kingdom of God is in desperate need for maitre d's, those senior saints. Now that I have shared with you whom I'm talking to, let me tell you why. It's found in this story of Jesus' first miracle. Jesus' first miracle in John chapter 2, we're told that Jesus' mother was there. She was invited along with the disciples, Jesus and his disciples. And they go to a wedding in Canaan, and Canaan is just a stone throw away from Nazareth. You could see Canaan from Nazareth. And so you can imagine just a small wedding party. But weddings back in those days were not just a one-day event. It didn't start at 1 and end at 6. It ran through the week, and it depended on what you could finance. You could tell who had money and who didn't have money. If you had real money, you had a week long wedding. If you had short money, yeah, it was about a couple of hours. But this seemed to be a long wedding, one in which Jesus doesn't arrive for the ceremony. He and the disciples arrive for the reception. He comes to the reception, and when Mary is there, she tells him there is a problem. And the problem is that they have run out of wine. Now that's why I need the immature to skip right here, because most of us, when we think of wine, we think of getting drunk. But I got to tell you, there's only a couple of beverages in the Bible. There's water, there's wine, and then there's beer, or there's milk or liquor, that sort of thing. But dominantly they drink wine. Now wine is anything from a drop of wine in water to nothing but wine and everything in between. Okay, maybe I can paint the picture. Next time you go to the grocery store, all of the things, all of the beverages between the water and the liquor section, all of that would have been considered wine. No matter how diluted it would have been, no matter how potent it would have been, it all would have been considered wine. And so you can imagine, if you can't drink water, you have to drink wine with your meals. And we would call it grape juice, to be honest. We would call it watered down grape juice. This ain't something that homeboys hang around the corner gonna be drinking. This ain't something that you go to the bar and purchase. This is some limited, real light drink, but it's running out. And the first question I want to ask you is, who do you run to when you run out? When you got a run out problem, who do you run to? Mary, when she had a run out problem, she ran to Jesus. When I was little, I used to run to my daddy. Obviously, I had his name, so he had my best interest at heart. It was important to him that I be successful. It was important to him that I be safe. So anytime I ran out of toothpaste, I would run to him. Anytime I ran out of money, I ran to him. But my daddy would always tell me about the Lord. I couldn't get no money from my daddy without hearing the scripture, without hearing a mini sermon. Because one day, Daddy was gone. And then I realized why Daddy was pointing me to Jesus. Because when I have a run-out problem, I need a run-to person. And if your run to person is human, they gonna run out themselves. What do you run to when you run out of faith? Where do you run to when you run out of hope? Where do you run to when you run out of patience? Where do you run to when you run out of time? Run to Jesus. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we don't take everything to God in prayer. Oh, follow the example of Mary. It wasn't Mary's problem, but she took it to Jesus. Mary. And then there's some people that kind of get hard on Jesus on how he rebuked her. But Jesus says, woman, what does that have to do with me? I like that phrase. I'm going to have to pin that up somewhere. What does that got to do with me? Why you bring that to me? Why are you involving me? Why are you getting me caught up into this? And some people think it's kind of harsh for Jesus to speak to his mama that way, but you can tell by how she responded that it wasn't that harsh. You can tell by what she did after. You don't have to speculate. Look, when Jesus told her, woman, what does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother turned to the servants and said, whatever he say. Just do it. Are we boycotting Nike? Okay, we're not boycotting Nike. I want to use Nike. Just do it. Whatever he say. Just do it. Do what the Lord say do. I know some of you are sitting there, what is he saying, Lord? What is he saying? He's saying come to church. He said, forsake not yourself from the assembly. He's saying give unto the Lord. He's saying love ye one another. He's saying forgive. He said pray ye without ceasing. Just do what he say do. And then Jesus springs into action. The scripture tells us that there were sticks, stone, water jars. The kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing. See, water was used for washing your hands. It was used for washing dishes, washing clothes, but it wasn't used for drinking. And so they had six water pots that they had been using to clean throughout this reception. So as this wedding is going on, they'll wash using the water out of these jars, but now the water jars are empty. And Jesus said to the servant, fill the jars with water. So they filled the jars. Not, they didn't object. They didn't call for a meeting. They didn't say, we need to hold up. Wait a minute. Who is this guy telling us what to do? They didn't do anything. They didn't even question it. They didn't even bring a debate. They simply filled the jars. They fill them to the brim. Then he tells them, draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. The master is called the governor in the King James versions. In other versions, it's called the master of the feast or the master of ceremony or the master of the banquet. It's an ambiguous role. It's a servant role that he has made it up to the head servant. He's now the head steward. He's still a servant, but it's a cross between a wedding planner and the person that actually caters. So it's a kind of a cross where they have oversee of the whole event, but yet his primary responsibility is the food and the drinks and making sure all of the people are there or well taken care of. And so Jesus says, take it to the master of the banquet. What I'm calling this position or this role, I'm describing it as the maitre d'. So take the water that was in the water pots, take it to the maitre d'. They did so. And the maitre d' tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants knew who had drawn it. But listen to what the maitre d' says. He called for the bridegroom and said, Everyone brings out the choice wine and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best for last. That's why we need more maitre d's. But then listen in verse 11. In verse 11, John tells us specifically what this miracle is about. This miracle is the first sign through which Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed. It's the first miracle where Jesus showed forth his supernatural power over the elements. Later he'll show how he stopped the storm. Later he'll show how he walked on water. But this is the first where he shows mastery over elements, over the basic element of water. And John said he did this to reveal his power, and his disciples believed in him. Well, that's the story. The story of the miracle of Jesus turning water into wine. But let's look at the servants. I want to look at the servants in this story. First, the servants, we're not told how many there were. And nobody even cares how many they were, because they servants. When the wise men come with three gifts, everybody assume it's just three. Then they want to count the wise men, because everybody want to count up wise men, but nobody ever want to count up servants. We're not told how many servants there were. But we are told that there was a special servant called the maitre d', that Jesus instructs them to take the water that had been turned into wine to him. Until now, we don't know that it's been changed until the maitre d' tastes it. It's important. The qualification for a maitre d', the role of a maitre d', is to be a discerner. He had the respect of his other stewards. He had the respect of the other servants. He was ready when his name was called. And he knew people. See, if you're going to serve as a maitre d', you can't just know your own opinion. You got to know other people's opinion. You got to have multiple perspectives. You got to be able to look at things, not just how it makes you feel, but how does it impact other people. He knew customs, he knew practices, he knew habits, he knew tradition. He says everyone brings out the best wine first. That's the way it is. That's the way it goes. That's how people are. That's how people operate. That's the way people go. And if you're going to be a maitre d', you're going to have to get to know people. People are different than you. Everybody wasn't raised up in your household. Everybody wasn't raised with your values. Everybody didn't have your same experiences. You have to know people. He knew how people behave, how people act in such a time such as this. And we're living in a time now where we need to get to know people. Everyone in sheep clothing ain't sheep. There are some wolves in sheep clothing. And we have the power of discernment. Know people. The gospel John writes in his first epistle, John talks about testing the spirit. He knew that there are different spirits out there. There are different spirits in the world today. And John says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh of God. See, everybody that's talking about Jesus ain't going to heaven. Everybody that talk about Jesus is not talking about the Jesus of Scripture. Everybody that talking about Jesus. And so John says we have to be able to discern the spirit. And that's why we need maitre d's. We need maitre d's that know people. Know people in their different seasons. Know people in their different relationship. Know what people are going through. He knew people. He knew their habits, their practice, their custom. They normally do A, bring out the choice wine first. But he knew there was something different. He knew that the wine that had come out later was better than the wine that he had at first. Listen, he said, this is all whack. This is all out of order. What kind of people are you? And isn't that true of the church? Aren't we supposed to be a different kind of people? We're supposed to be a peculiar people. We're supposed to be a different sort of person, cut from a different cloth. We act different. We respond differently. You know, I got a lot of friends work for the state. I work for the state, so I still have some former coworkers that work for the state. And so Abbott, the governor, is saying that they all going to have to come back to the office. And they all, and I want to kind of, I try to not, you know, to be empathetic. I try to be sympathetic and say it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. But the problem is I keep thinking in my mind that Ebenezer is at 1010 East 10th Street. And so at least one day a week you ought to come by the church. If the governor gonna make you go to the office 5 days a week, you ought to volunteer to come by the church at least once. That's why you need maitre d's. You need somebody that know people. Now, not only did the maitre d know people, secondly, he knew wine. Water, grape juice, a week. He knew the color, he knew the smell, he knew the texture. He knew what wine looked like. And isn't that like so many of us, we get caught up in what looks like. If it look good, we think it is good. We think if it look right, we think it is right. We go off a look. If we see somebody that we like doing it, that's what we want to do. That's why advertisement works so hard, because if we are so caught up in what look like, what it smells like. But the maitre d', he tasted it. Oh, I'm sorry. Y'all missed that. I'm going to have to put my glasses back on. That's supposed to have a bigger effect than it had. He tells them to draw out some and take it to the maitre d'. And they did so, and the maitre d' tasted the water that had been turned into wine. It wasn't until he tasted it. See, the Bible teaches us that we have to taste and see that the Lord is good. See, you got to have a personal experience with the Lord. You can't go off of everybody else's relationship with the Lord. You can't go off what grandma said about the Lord. You can't even go off what daddy said about the Lord. You have to meet the Lord for yourself. And if you don't taste and see, you get caught up in what looked like it. You get caught up in what smells like it. You get caught up in fake gold rather than real gold. But you got to taste and see that the Lord is good. And sometimes we have to be like that little girl who wanted a prince. And she was in the woods and she went and collected a whole bunch of frogs. And everybody said, why are you collecting frogs? She said, because I want a prince. And she went and got all the frogs and she started kissing them, hoping that one of them would turn into a prince. And she kissed a whole lot of frogs. And still, no prince. And it's just like some of us. We're kissing a whole lot of frogs. We trying this philosophy. We trying this doctrine. We trying this denomination. We trying this hour. We trying this. We trying that. You just kissing frogs. But you got to taste and see. Once you experience the Lord, once you come on the Lord's side, then you know the difference. He knew the difference. He compared it to the rest. See, this may have been Jesus' first miracle, but it wasn't the maitre d's first wedding. This might have been Jesus' first miracle that he performed at a wedding at Cana, but it wasn't the maitre d's first wedding. He had cheap wine before. He had poor wine before. He had watered down wine before. That's how he knew this was some good stuff. This ain't your regular. This got a kick with it. He knew the difference. And that's why we need maitre d's. We need maitre d's who have experienced the goodness of the Lord firsthand and move beyond mere knowledge to personal and experienced relationship with him. They not looking for Jesus anymore. They walking with the Lord. They not trying to find out their place in this world. They already got a place in this world. Maitre d's are those that have tried everything else and know that which is real. And it's not real because it looked like it, not because it's the same color. And I got in a debate with Dr. Brian. What color was it? Did it turn purple? Did it turn maroon? Was it grape flavor looking? What? And we got caught up, but was it clear? And the fact of the matter, we're going to have to wait till we get to heaven to figure that one out. But it was wine. And somewhere from the dipping to the sipping, God changed it from water to wine. Somewhere from the servants getting it to the servants serving it, God made a change. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you stay with the Lord, somewhere between the dipping and the sipping, he'll make a miracle in your life. If you stay with the Lord, somewhere between the devotion and the benediction, he'll have a miracle. If you stay with the Lord, somewhere between our Father who art in heaven to amen, he will work a miracle. This wine represents joy, and the joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. This joy that I have, that's why I can look at other stuff and know that it ain't gonna last. This joy that I have. And that's why the world is in desperate need of maitre d's. The kingdom of God is in desperate need for maitre d's. And novice need not apply. May God bless you and may God keep you today. At this time, we want to extend the invitation. There may be someone present, as the deacons and the ushers and the greeters come, we invite you now. We invite you. You can come by letter, Christian experience, or a candidate for baptism. We invite you to come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. It was ours to extend. It was yours to accept. May God bless you today. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, Ebenezer. We have already a member, Brother Michael Halliburton, and what he said to me that he's on a mission, and he wants to continue to be on the mission, and I told him that I would give the message, give it to Reverend Robinson, and we will pray with him.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, Brother Mike, come on up here. Amen. Bless you, my brother. Bless you, my brother. Michael is in a world-changing mission. Amen. And we definitely want to be in prayer with him, to encourage him, that the Lord will strengthen him for his journey. Amen. Amen. And we want to thank Brother Michael. He comes to Bible study. Where were you at? You was in Honduras. He was in Honduras. I'm saying that to shame some of you, because he was in Honduras and was able to log into Zoom. I'm saying that to embarrass somebody. You're like, man, you're in my living room and couldn't do it. Amen. But we're going to definitely lift you up in prayer and make it a priority in our benedictional prayer, okay? Yes, amen. Bless you today. Bless you today. Amen. Amen.